family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings. It's time again for the amazing, wonderful Dutch Jones Radio Program. It's Monday. What is today's date, Lou? So if that was the 25th of April already, 2011, we are just ripping through April. It's kind of weird. I don't know if time sped up after I had my strokes or what, but seems like time is flying by and we just keep running out of time and things just aren't getting there, you know, getting done in time. It seems like we're running out of time. Maybe that grace period's over that I've been talking about. And I don't know if it's like that for you guys. If it has, you can give me a call, although I forgot the phone number. It's 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. And I have to look at Lou when I do that to make sure I don't get it wrong. He's the numbers guy. He remembers all the numbers. I'm the concept guy. He makes sure we get on the air every day. He had to reformat a computer today. We lost one. We lost a laptop. If we could play taps, we could. How long have you had that laptop, Lou? How many years? Can you count back that far? Were you a wee?
4 or 5.
4 or 5 years, and finally the screen went out in it. And so he had to reformat another laptop so that it could do all the things he needs it to do. So another miracle, another hardship, but another answer. Lou got another. I gave him my laptop, so I'm officially without a laptop now, but I don't really need one. That's not mine. That's the church's laptop. I don't own one. This one was mine. This was my birthday gift, and I gave it to you. Do you feel special now? So, yeah. So, you know, it's like we get a new computer, and then we lose one. We get a new computer, we lose two. It's just it's a battle of attrition, isn't it? But we're all engaged in just the holy cause of liberty, and that's the way it goes. I hope you guys had a good Resurrection Sunday. If you call it Easter, I'm not going to yell at you or slap you. I'm not one of those guys. But we call it Resurrection Sunday. We had a very small group. I don't know where everybody was. We only had 25 people show up. 20 of them were workers. We cleaned up around the church. We swept the parking lot, pulled weeds, cleaned stuff. Lou and I set up about 50 chairs outside the podium, the sound system, did all that, and it was a good day. It was a really good day. Good fellowship was had, and we had a great service. The pastor gave a great Resurrection Day service, talking about if Christ hadn't risen from that tomb, everything we do would be for naught. There would be no purpose to life. There would be no reason to have faith in something that didn't come true. And so we had a really, really, really good sermon, and that'll probably be. You didn't bring that camera so we could get it up, did you? Or did you already upload it? Okay, yeah, we'll have to upload that next week. But we're down, you know, on the valley floor right now. I've got appointments at the VA, so yeah, you guys can follow me. I'll tell you where I'm at. Those of you that are looking for me. But yeah, I'm going to be heading in for more testing, more fun stuff to the VA. Got my bill from the VA. I think I mentioned that earlier. My portion is going to be about $17,000. So we're going to have a car wash and collect aluminum cans to pay that bill, right? Yeah, that'll go down the priority list right behind toilet paper and light bulbs on our budget, paying back that $17,000. I'll send them $5 a month. I'm not going to go out of my way for that. I'm getting a lot of contact through Facebook. I mean, a lot. People are listening. I've got some interesting things here. In fact, let me see. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room first before I switch off. I see a bunch of folks in there. Welcome, and thanks for listening. Welcome to our pod people. Welcome to just about everybody who's listening and everybody who's not listening. People who download later, I appreciate that. Let me find this here. We do have a Facebook presence. If you go onto Facebook and just type in DUTCHJOENS, send me a friend request, and I'll zip it back at you, and you'll be able to look. We uploaded a bunch of pictures. If you're already a friend on there, you can look at the new pictures that I've uploaded. Where is this? Okay, there they are again. Why does it say I uploaded them twice? Oh, here it is. I got this really interesting email. Let me find it here. I got it early in the morning this morning. I woke up and there it was. And it was at the on the DutchJones.info. And it's kind of weird. I knocked the name off of it. It doesn't really matter who sent it, but he claims to be some sergeant in the Cav. I don't know if he's in current cavalry or if he World War II, World War I, you know, he was in the cavalry in the Spanish-American War. But here's what it says. And those of you that haven't been to the website, DutchJones.info, I fly the American flag upside down. And every once in a while, that and the fact that I have the Confederate flag, I get comments on those too. Once in a while. People seem to have gotten used to it, but it's weird. Let's see. Is there any reason you are disrespecting the American flag? Yes, I know what it means to invert the flag. Last I checked, we aren't in danger of being overrun in combat, and you're placing it in the fashion is a slap in the face of every American that has fought and died defending it. I am one of them. How about showing... Okay, he says he is one of them. First of all, flying the flag upside down does not mean you're about to be overrun. It doesn't mean... It's not what it means. It's an international sign of distress, SOS, help, things like that. And then he says that it's a slap in the face to every American veteran that has fought and died defending it. He says, I am one of them. Now, I assume he's not one that died defending it. He's probably just, you know, making that comment, but... He's speaking for all veterans. I, for one, am a veteran, and flying it upside down does not slap every veteran in the face. In fact, I know a lot of veterans that fly it upside down now. I am one of them. How about showing everything positive about what those stars and stripes stand for and hold it high and get away from the negative depiction? Sure, God bless America, right or wrong. Let's wave that flag no matter what. Just tell me smooth things. Don't bad talk the president. Just talk about all the good things he's doing. And, oh, my daughter's listening. Thank you. I'm going to tell her I'm on the air here in case she's not listening and she's trying to IM me. They want us to just, you know, oh, everything's great, everything's great. And then he says this, just a thought, and before you go off running your hole back at me, period. I mean, I love it. He gets rude right out of the box and then tells me I can't run my hole back at him even though he's running his hole at me. I love my country and will fight to the death to defend her from all enemies as the oath of enlistment states. I also love and respect the Constitution and conservative. And then he says, hell, I was even born on the 4th. Please fix the flag on your page. And then he signs it. I'm not going to give his name. But if you're listening, if you did this and you have the guts to call in and debate this with me, I would love that. It's 559-346-8362. But here's my reply. This is what I wrote back to him, and I also posted this up here. Okay, flying it upside down means SOS, crisis, danger, warning. I flipped it the day the federal government burned the church in Waco. I fought and bled for this nation as well, and I have more than earned the right to protest what has become of this once great nation. You claim you know what the upside-down flag means. You say it's a slap in the face of every vet? Not, and then I write back, I got to calm down here. No, you do not know, and not every vet thinks like you. I took the same oath you did, and it says nothing about the flag. I swore to defend the Constitution and the people of this land, not a misused banner. I also, as a former military policeman, know exactly what the tradition and symbolism of the American flag stands for. We had to learn all that stuff at MP Academy. I know it as long it has long since been abandoned as the standard of this nation, evident by the actions of the government. Also note that your, mine, and every vet's sacrifice means absolutely nothing. No one owes me or you anything. I get so sick of veterans acting like we need to be bowed down to because we went and did something. Even if you were drafted and went, you took part in an unholy cause. You don't deserve any recognition for that beyond just a, hey, you know, that's really cool that you were a vet. I don't like it when people thank me. You should be thanking our Lord Jesus Christ for your liberty and for the sacrifice he made. What I did is nothing compared to that. Let's see. Nor are we super citizens with special rights or dispensations. I hate it when vets think that they deserve something extra. We don't. To me, you know who the real heroes in America are? Guys that get up every day and go to work. They don't cheat on their wives. They feed their kids. They pay their mortgage. They pay their bills. They go to church on Sundays. They help out in their community. Those are real heroes to me because, for one, I don't understand how they do it. I've never been able to function on a normal level like that. Those are the heroes to me, not people who go off and break things and shoot people. That, you know, that's, there's nothing heroic about that. I really don't think so. The sacrifice is short, the risk is short, but a lifetime of dedication to your community and your family, that's something I'm impressed by. Our liberty comes from Jesus Christ. So to declare that you or I have some kind of unique claim on liberty is wrong. Simply because we stood in the gap, most causes American soldiers take part in are unjust, so therefore the opposite is true. I spend my time among combat vets, and I am here to tell you that they do not all think like you, which I find to be true. The time I spent at the VA, the Code 20 stuff, the militia stuff, most vets are smart enough to know that what our government's been doing in just about every single war since the War of 1812 has been for corporate or self-righteous or imperial reasons. Now, the self-righteous governments that we serve don't really care about us. Now, I grow tired of old men who followed the herd and bought the lies as young men and refused to admit that not all this nation has asked them to do was noble and just. I have long since stopped defending my upside-down flag depictions, but since you seem to be so upset by it, I took the time to once again explain it to you. Not that I explained it a couple times to him, but this is the first time I've heard from him. Of course, it could be the same guy. Who knows? The way the internet works, people could be sending me the same stuff every couple months. My suggestion to you is, rather than worry about my legitimate flying of Old Glory in protest, you should read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Mayflower Compact, the Northwest Ordinances, and learn exactly who we need to thank for our freedom. I am not running my hole, as you put it. I am rather trying to rebuke you for a lack of understanding of what this nation really is all about. If you are a young vet, I encourage you to seek wisdom. If you are an old vet, I encourage you to seek a more humble attitude. Going to war has not been just since 1861 for this nation. Thank you for taking the time to write me. Always loving, Dutch. And I posted that up on Facebook with much care and loving and a boot to the head. Dutch. Boy, I'm getting all kinds of comments now. A lot of people seem to like that. A lot of people seem to agree with me on that when I posted that on Facebook. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm sick and tired of vets acting like there's something special. And I'm not going to flip my flag over. It's just weird to me. These people, they don't get it. They don't understand that we are in a dire situation. Only talk of the kind and smooth things. Don't disrespect the president. Respect the president. No, if you know, it's ridiculous to me. These are the same people that want, literally, while their house is burning down, are going to be saying, "Well, at least you know we got out alive." Well, you should be fighting the fire too. Don't just sit on the front porch, on the front lawn, rather having a hug fest. Do something to stop the crisis. Limit your losses. Limit the mistakes. Limit the terribly bad things that are going on in this world. I don't know. And yeah, right, I'm not going to flip the flag no sooner than I'm going to take down the Confederate flag or change anything on my website or anything like that. It's just, it's ridiculous. There's so many whiners out there, and I'm finding a lot of them used to wear a uniform. We've got vets, World War II vets in our community that can't stand me where I live, and they want to fight with me all the time. They call me a fanatic. And when you check into it, they weren't even combat vets. They were like rear echelon at mofos. You know, especially the Vietnam vet era ones. They were mechanics. This, swab jockeys, desk jockeys, that kind of stuff. I had one guy go, I didn't fight World War II so that you guys could try to overthrow the government. I go, one, I'm not trying to overthrow the government. The government overthrew itself. The government's trying to overthrow us. And number two, what did you do in World War II?
I commanded Liberty ships, and, well, I didn't really command them. I was on them.
Oh, so you were Merchant Marine, you know, stuff like not that there's anything wrong with Merchant Marines, don't get me wrong. But when they start going on and bloviating and lying to me, we had a guy show up to our one of our Code 20 trainings claiming to be a Vietnam-era fighter pilot or a bomber pilot. He even wore the jacket and the insignia. Well, by the time Steve Klein vetted him and started talking to him, it turns out he was an enlisted photographer on some aircraft that flew bomb assessment runs. You know, still some risk involved, but I find they usually lie. These overly patriotic, God bless America, right or wrong, you know, they have a picture of John Wayne over their toilet, you know, stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with John Wayne, but they don't get it. They're the same people that go to church that don't want to hear anything but salvation sermons. You know, it's weird to me. I'm looking in the chat room here at some stuff that they do that. That's why there's such a small percentage of Oath Keepers. Take that away from the dog. The dog's playing with a chew toy. That's what the squeak was in the background. And we really have to. I would rather have 1,000 civilians come to my training. Because I kind of get the idea how they're going to think of things and I know what to expect, than 100 vets, because I have to go through each one individually to find out where their mind is, especially Vietnam vets. World War II vets I kind of expect they're all, you know, gung-ho, everything's, you know, good. Korean vets kind of here, you know, kind of a mixture. But Vietnam vets, it's like I don't know where they stand. Some of them talk about how great it was to go over there and do the things that they're doing, and others make it sound like they didn't want to be there and everything was hell on earth, and then you find out they were a cook. You don't have to impress me. Just come here with some solid gospel, listen to the show, share your opinions when they make sense. Don't tell war stories. And listen, it's like I said, it's just like the gospel. People just want to hear everything that's smooth and tickles their ears. We've got people that come to our church that afterwards are like, I can't believe the pastor mentioned politics. And I'm like, what are you even doing here? Yeah. You know we're a patriotic, in-your-face, dominion-oriented, no king but King Jesus kind of church. And that's why we're small. And people go, well, you should tolerate people like that. No. Tolerance is a form of sin. To tolerate stupidity and evil is bad, but what you do is if someone's got the right attitude, Stacy wants to say something, if people have the right attitude and they're willing to learn, that's different. But if they want to come and complain and whine, and it's just, I've been running into that a lot lately. Go ahead, Stace.
I go, that's a form of slavery if you have to tolerate people.
Yeah, you're submitting to them, submitting to their will, and if their will is in alignment with God, that's you're right, it is a form of slavery, Stacy. And the other thing that I'm running into lately is I've been getting a lot more weird religious types. And everybody says I'm a weird religious type. And I call them religious types because they're not faithful. Okay, calm down over there. Let me do the show without you commenting. You can comment all day long and you don't talk to me. Don't give me that look. You've been sitting behind that computer all day long ignoring me. I go on the air and suddenly you want to have him put, just calm down. I'm getting these, like, you know, the typical every once in a while, hey, this is Chucky 88 Heil Hitler. How you doing, Dutch? We'd really like you to check out our website. And I'm like, no. And then I'm getting Christian identity stuff, and I'm getting these weird sacred name guys, these oh, I love Israel so much guys. And they're like, show me one verse in the New Testament that says that there's a new covenant and that we're not supposed to be doing Passover and we're not supposed to be doing the tabernacles, and show me it. So I'll show them like 8 verses, you know, where Christ talks about and Peter talks about, you know, there's a new covenant, eat whatever's put in front of you, don't worry about this. And then they come back, well, you're just wrong. You're misinterpreting those. I go, wait a minute. You told me to show you just one verse, and I showed you a ton. If you're going to do that, don't bother writing to me. Don't bother making comments on what I say on the show. If you're not going to take a rebuke and analyze the verse, it's not about me. Everybody says, well, you're just teaching the wrong gospel. I go, no. I just gave you a Bible verse. I'm not teaching anything. I'm showing you right where it says here that
you know, that this is what we're supposed to do. That you know, because show me one example where God changes his mind. And then I'll do that. I'll show where God changes things. And, you know, he can do whatever he wants. It's his plan. Just like the same people that say you don't have a free will, and then I show them all the places where people have had free will. Please, if you people are listening to me just to debate me, go get your own radio show. I don't have time. I spent probably 3 hours today with one guy. He was some survival guy. He had a really cool name. So I thought, hey, you know, I'll talk to him. And it was all like, oh, no, we're supposed to do the Passover meal. All this Judeo-Christian stuff. And it's clear that we're not supposed to be Jews. We're supposed to be Christians. And a lot of people don't like that about me. They don't like it about the church. They don't like it about the way we study and the way we say things. But that's the way it used to be. Until all this end times madness crept in, and everybody's, oh, we gotta love Israel. We've got, you know, if they want to be saved, they're saved through, you know, faith and not by works. I got people all the time sending me stuff. You're always talking bad about works and just about faith. You've got to do works, you know. And this is the one I love. I know a lot of good people that have no faith, but they're really good people. Well, who decides what's good and what's not? Good comes from God. The word good comes from God, and God is Jesus Christ. And no matter how good you are in the world, if you don't believe in a supreme Jesus Christ, no king but King Jesus, it doesn't matter what you do. And they get all upset by that. And so I'm getting a lot of that kind of mail lately. And I think it's because people are getting scared. A lot of people are showing up at the church all of a sudden. We had like 4 people show up over the weekend, you know, that come to the conferences, and they're sharing it. Things are getting hotter. Things are getting, you know, as time grows, calamity comes, you know, and the road narrows. So people are starting to wake up. So in a good way, like 4 people coming to the church on Saturday to check us out and find a little bit more about what we're doing. They usually come to the conferences. I hope you're listening, in fact. And then we've got other people that just show up at the church because they get thrown out of other churches because they cause too many problems. We had that happen. And the guy just admitted to me, I'm like, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at your church? They asked me to leave. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, but, if, you know, we need to see why they asked him to leave. They asked him to leave because he was saying, hey, you guys are teaching too much milk. We need some meat. Then that's different, but I don't think so in this guy's case. I had to tell, and I don't even know if they listen anymore. There's some guys that are Masons that listen to this show. I know they podcast, I think, now. They used to listen live, and I remember Chuck got into it with them a few times. And the more we just explored the Masonic thing, we already knew about it. I'm not going to sound like it's something we just did. Don't get me wrong. But it's like I was kind of neutral on it because I hadn't really met any real Masons. I kept seeing the patterns and the way they did things and the deceit, and they'd say one thing and do another, and so we just said, look, we don't want any Masons at our church. You know, we don't, no secret society. Same reason we didn't let the Klan come to our church, same reason we don't let Nazis come to our church. If your allegiance is elsewhere, Hiram of Biff or something like that, then you don't have a place in our cause. Now, God bless you, go do your own thing. And like the pastor said, let them go. You start a militia with their lodge. There's just no place for them here. And you may be saying, well, that's weird. You're like alienating people. Well, we've got to be select. Remember I've told you, 3 to 5 families, start networking. Well, don't network with anybody that comes along just because you're desperate. You know, it's not the day before prom and you've already got the dress and the limo's rented and your dad's already given you some money, you know, to go pay for dinner. No. I guess I should have said tuxes, Renan. I shouldn't have said the dress. You buy the dress. Girls get the short end of the stick on prom. They have to buy a dress. We guys just go out and rent one. But don't sell yourself short. Don't fellowship with people that you're not absolutely positive you can trust them. There's a courtship period, but you've got to make sure that you can deal with them. Otherwise, you're going to get guys like this angry veteran that doesn't get it, that doesn't understand what the flag upside down means. And when I say, and I want to get back to that, when I say the day that they burned the church at Waco, I stopped honoring the flag, I mean it. I completely mean it. Randy Weaver, all the stuff the stuff they did to our Code 20 soldier down in Riverside last couple weeks ago, where they went in and took his guns in a bureaucratic administrative procedure. The government that is in place now, whether it's Republicoid or Democrat tards, Demtards, doesn't matter. They're completely corrupt, and I am not trying to overthrow the government. The government is trying to overthrow America.
Period. End of story. And so that's the point of view that I'm coming at it with. And let me see. Has anybody got any? Ooh. I don't know what's going on in there. Yeah, good as God with an extra O. And I don't expect everybody to agree with me 100%. And I probably stepped on some toes in my little opening diatribe here. You may think that the end of the world is coming and that all these are great signs. That's fine. If you're right, that doesn't change anything. I'm just sitting here waiting for Jesus Christ to return and for all of us to be resurrected. That's all I care about. You know, I don't care one way or the other about the way the battle's going to go, because I'm going to do whatever our general Jesus Christ tells us to do. And I'm not going to waste a whole lot of breath debating it with people unless they've never been exposed to it. But the constant rolling around with me, sending me the emails, you're misinterpreting this one phrase, and if you're using King James, you're not getting the real translation. You need to go back to the Septuagint and save it. This overzealous attempt to Judaize Christianity is not going to get you anywhere. Because what did Jesus say on the cross? It is done. It's finished. It's over. An end of an era. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed a few years later. If Jesus Christ had wanted us to all be Jews, he would have made it that we all had to be circumcised. We all had to do all these different feasts. He wouldn't be the final unblemished lamb with unbroken legs to be sacrificed. It's pretty clear. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of Christian. Meat and potatoes kind of Christian. I'm a meat and potatoes liberty-seeking individual. I read the documents. I take them for what they say. I read the correspondence that the founding fathers wrote. I don't try to inject any superficial meaning into it like so many people do. So many people do. They're like, well, but, you know, and oh, I hear the music. Well, about ready for break. I need a drink of water anyway. We're going to come back after the break, and I'm going to fill your head with some other interesting stuff. Talk about Code 20 a little bit and how we're expanding. I can't believe how fast we're expanding and networking. We'll be back after the break. Thanks. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Central California somewhere. Are we still in Central California? Yeah. Okay, see.
crash does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Central California, usually from Camp Kuya in the Commonwealth of Kuya, right outside the main gates of Sequoia National Park. And if you want to see some pictures of what it looks like up here, go to my Facebook page, Dutch Jones on Facebook. We've uploaded a few pictures. There's some older ones, there's some new ones. Little picture of the main fork of the Kuya River, and I put on there, yes, there is gold there, and no, you can't work our claim. But we do live in God's country here. It's a great survival area, and we're encouraging people to come here and train with us in hopes that they come here and go, wow, we need to sell our cloak and move here, or in most cases, you know, sell our house, our SUVs, figure out a way to make money on the internet and move up here, because that's the problem with where we're at. There's just no way to make a whole lot of money unless you're selling trinkets to the tourists or somehow working in that, and then that's seasonal. But that's the goal here, and that's what we're doing. We're always trying to get people to focus on the solutions and to – let me find this here – and to do their very best to be part of the solution rather than sitting around complaining about it. And we've hooked up with a group of Christians worldwide. We've been training them, a couple of them, and it's the Defense League. And they're a Christian group. I mean, there's so many. There's Christian Defense League. There's Christian Defenders. What are the other ones? There's a bunch of them. And they're all just different militias, politically active groups around the world that are focused on preserving the Christian faith system against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And they're all different walks of life. And I just got a list today. Just before I went on the air, of all the people, these different groups of, I put a call out and I said, hey, you know, let's see who we have. And Defense Leagues, you know, we had Andrew James on from Christian Defenders. He was on. That's part of them. And after that little interview, they started checking in. Let me tell you where we have groups now that are part of our network of like-minded folks, not just in the United States but around the world. And I posted all the United States ones, and after I get off the air, I'm going to post the ones from around the world, their Facebook pages. We decided Facebook is the best way to communicate. It's like the committees of correspondence. It's like the Liberty Tree. I always say it's like the modern campfire. As long as we can use it, let's use it. But let me give you a list here of the countries that are listening and are sending people to be trained by our groups. Philippines, France, Scotland, the overall encompassing European Defense League, Indonesia, Pakistan, of course. We talked about Pakistan last Tuesday. Australia, the Nordic Defense League, which makes up Finland, Norway, Denmark, I already said Finland, Sweden, and a couple others. The English Defense League. And then more specifically, the English Defense League of Bolton. And everybody knows the palindrome of Bolton would be not lob. That's for all you Monty Python fans out there with the pet shop skit. Okay, now here in the United States, of course, there's Los Angeles, Texas, Chicago, New England, which is kind of generic, New York City, South Florida, Michigan, New Jersey. Another Michigan group has checked in. Another New Jersey group has checked in. I guess in the denser populations, you need more than one. The American Defense League, which is an overall group, Oklahoma, and Denver. And then there's kind of a generic one, Ban the Black Flag of Jihad, which is a group that is, of course, facing, you know, the question of Islam and the threat of Islam. And what we're going to do is, as we work towards our October conference, we're going to try to get these folks to send representatives out. And I always say sometimes I get a little narrow focused and I just talk about the Holy Cause of Liberty in the United States, but it's a global cause. I get excited about the Sudanese army. I get excited about Australia, New Zealand, victories and defeats. I talk about them. But when you think about it, Jesus Christ did not just come for the people of the United States of America. He came for every man, woman, and child that ever would exist so that they would have salvation through him. And because of that, we also have to fight for liberty for all folks, all tribes, all colors. And that offends some people. That's why I am always amazed when the Nazis and the Christian Identity folks want to communicate with me, because I'm like, I don't agree with you on that. Even the Jews. I think the Jews, if they accept Jesus Christ, they have just as much a right. They have the same gift that I have. They just reject it. And I think that's wonderful that we've got people from the Philippines. I told you in the past, when Lou checks the stuff, and I don't think he checked it this time. I think there's been problems with the website. But we got people in India, Pakistan, all over North Africa, China, Japan, listening to the show, and they're starting to check in, and they're starting to do things. They're starting to be part of the solution. And we play a very small part in it because, I'm going to be honest, the 2 hours I do a day here, mostly they're the ramblings of a mad white man. But I hope that I share with you some nuggets, some beliefs, some things that help you. And that's why we do it. And we've got to stop thinking like it's just you in Kentucky, you in Iowa, me here in Kauai. We're talking to the whole world, folks. And what we do here in America may be the last great hope for liberty for a long time. We may be headed for dark ages if we fail here. Let's see. Sergeant Slade said, did you see Jesse Ventura on AOL Mail when you open it 5 doc? The government don't want you to see one was a national detention camp. I'm not sure what that is. Open it 5. I'm not sure what that means, Sergeant Slade. But, yeah, I know. I wouldn't be surprised. We were just doing some stuff. Remember the handbook we were talking about? Well, somebody down here in the valley that heard about it came over, knew we were here, wanted a copy of it, and they don't have a computer. So Lewis and I had a heck of a time going to the government printing office, the GPO. It took multiple attempts to download it. It was like blocking it. It wouldn't. And then finally Lou figured out a way to download it and then print it that way. Because what he's doing is this guy took it to a, like Kinko's, printed up like 10 of them, and he's going through and highlighting all the issues in it, and he's going to hand it out to all of his prison guard friends. I know they like to be called correctional peace officers, but to me they're still just prison guards. But he's going to hand it out to them and say, hey, look, this is what you're going to be asked to do. And he goes, they're already patriotic and already leaning that way, and he's hoping this will be a breakthrough for him. And that's just the 2007 one. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. The Internet's doing some pretty weird stuff. I had the one story that I was going to tell you guys about. I talked about it just briefly, but the police kicked in this guy's door, put him on the ground, called him a pervert, a child molester, a pornographer, confiscated all of their technology, phones, computers, everything, held him for 3 days, interrogated him, brutalized him, and it turns out it was because the guy had an open Wi-Fi system. Somebody sat in their car and downloaded child pornography because they found nothing on his computers. And the interesting thing is it was Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And when he asked, well, why is ICE coming to my house for child pornography? Well, it's U.S. Customs now covers international pornography stuff. Commerce issues that are out there. The commerce codes, that's how they're getting you. It's a bureaucratic administrative issue. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. So we're going to see more and more of this as they manipulate the Internet. I don't know how long we'll be able to use it. I really don't. Every day that I turn this thing on, technically Lou turns it on, and he points his finger at me and says it's time to talk, I take it as a blessing that we get one more day. Every penny and donation that we get that keeps us on the air, I take it as a blessing that we can function for one more day. I mean, the time's going to come when either financially we won't be able to do it anymore, or they won't let us do it anymore. So, they're doing stuff out there, and they're completely embedded into our phones. And if you got a new car, they know where you're going in your new car. That's why we only drive old, cruddy little cars or other people's cars. Of course, it doesn't really matter when they, you know, they, when they're surveilling you so well, they know who's doing what in what car. Some of the other emails I got, everybody's asking me again what to go out and buy right now. And I keep, when people do that, I keep saying, well, it's almost getting too late. Your dollar's not going to be worth much. Inflation's going nuts. Gasoline's going up. So I would say, you know, please, if you can, get some stabilized and store some fuel for your bug out. Lou had a bunch of suggestions. He just read through that whole book, and some of the stuff that he was saying was pretty good. And maybe next week or later this week we'll go through that book again, because it's a really good overall encapsulation of what you need to know. But I'm telling people the same stuff. You know, if you've already got your basics, if you got your beans and your rice and, you know, your canned meats and your freeze-dried food, start getting comfort stuff now. Start storing a bunch of 2-liter bottles of soda or something. Go and get a bunch of dollar, 2 liters, you know, get some comfort stuff. If you've already built it up and you've still got some resources, but everything you buy, it's just the dollar is going nowhere. It's going, well, it's going down to nowhere. And I really don't, you know, people are asking me, I got 2 emails today, should I buy silver? Should I buy gold? Silver's at like 49, 45 or something. I don't know about gold and silver. I just don't. You know, we're going to go get our own gold out of the river, and then I'll probably end up making bullets out of it. It's a little more practical to me, but maybe if this thing stabilizes, the gold will be worth something. But just get everything that I keep telling you the same, folks. You know, beans, bandages, and bullets. Batteries. Beans, bullets, batteries, bandages. Bongos for entertainment. I'm going to keep stick them all to bees, everything that's a B. If you have absolutely nothing right now, just start buying up ramen and rice and beans, because those are cheap things that you can buy a lot of and that you can store, and a pot to boil it in and a place to boil it. And work on your cars. Work on your cars. We were doing that Saturday. Somebody's supposed to come by and help me, and they didn't show up. Shame on you. But we've got to get your vehicles ready, your bug-out bags ready. Always be ready. Always be on edge, you know. You know, just keep watching everything. Look to see if they come for your neighbors. Look to see if they come for the next town over. And maybe now is the time to start making yourself a smaller target. You know, maybe now is the time to, you know, take those bumper stickers off your cars. And people go, but you're supposed to be bold. Yeah, but you're not supposed to be stupid. I'm just saying, you know, we're not making it a point now to go out in full tactical gear to go get a soda in town. We're trying to blend in and let people maybe forget who we are when we're not in our stronghold. You know, walking around the property, you know, I've got my weapon on my hip and a rifle nearby and all that kind of stuff. But take it easy, folks. Start thinking cell warfare now. Start paying attention to the stuff we're talking about on Tuesday nights. I use my web gear to walk the dog, Warland says. Yeah. Dutch, you might mention that there is a hurricane lamp that will run off of gas, diesel, and grease. You know what? I got one of those, and I haven't tried the animal fat yet, but I've done turpentine in that thing. I've done Lucas oil. I've tried all kinds of stuff, and it burns. You know, so get these older hurricane lamps, the older ones, and buy extra wicks. You can learn to make wicks out of stuff, but they're not as efficient as the things that are made to be wicks. I don't know what they're made out of. If they're made out of flax or something, somebody that's an expert can throw it in there. But start doing that. Start stacking your firewood if you live in cold climate. Get extra firewood. Get extra everything, underwear and socks. Now, personally, I can survive a long time without underwear or socks, but I've lived a life of poverty. That's the other thing, folks. Start living a little more stoic. Everybody says, oh, when the collapse comes, it's going to be terrible. No, it's going to bring the rest of you down to my level. Other than like 4 or 5 years when I was working in private investigations, you know, and for FEMA, I never had any money anyway. So I always learned to live hard and frugal. And living in a car never bothered me. Living in a lean-to down by the river never bothered me. So maybe you need to start leaning your family out now. And here's an idea for you. Start limiting how much toilet paper they can use. I'm telling you, you got at least, if you got a family of four, there's one, at least one person in your family that uses half the roll every time they go. I don't mean to be vulgar here, but that's the way it is. Lou's pointing at Stacy, and I'm pointing at Lou. Who's going to point at me? Okay, Mom's pointing at me. come up with alternatives for the toilet paper, folks, or be able to make it last. Get your Sears Roebuck catalogs. Do they even print those anymore? So phone books. Start collecting big old thick phone books and stashing them. We built like a little handheld bidet, and it scared Lou to death. He didn't know what it was. I took a 2-liter Coke bottle, filled it about, put a bunch of antibacterial soap in it, filled it full of water, and put a hose with a shower head on it, and put it on the back of the toilet. And I've been practicing with it, you know, so I don't have to use toilet paper. And just so, like I said, getting people ready. And Lou's like, what? Why is that? Is that a bottle of your urine? I go, yes, I've been collecting my urine over several days, Lou. And so one day he didn't want to get out of bed, so I ran in there with this thing in my hand. It's soapy water, and I shook it up so it looked foamy. And I had the hose on the end of it, and I said, Lou, if you don't get out of bed, I'm going to squirt you with my urine. And I know that sounds sick, but it got him out of bed. In fact, it got him out of the house. He took off, and he ran, and we didn't see him for a couple hours. But that's another thing you can look at. And I just picked up the hose. It fits over the end of a 2-liter bottle perfectly. It seals real nice. It's the kind of thing that you would put over the spigot of your sink, so if you wanted to use it to wash dishes. And I think it was $8. It's a white hose. And it's just a good place to start to clean yourself, and you use antibacterial soap, and you're going to use less toilet paper if you do that. You're going to use a lot less toilet paper. Corn cobs, somebody just typed in there. But, yeah, corn cobs, tax forms are great for toilet paper. Start anytime you can, just start collecting stuff. I mean, look at different papers. Look at different things you can use. And remember, you don't need public services to flush your toilet. It may back up, but if you're on a cistern somewhere, you can just get a 5-gallon bucket and dump it in the back of the toilet, and you can do that. So you can work it kind of in together, a nice little brush, some Clorox bleach. We just got another case. Did you put that case of bleach inside? You did?
Yeah.
Okay. We just got another case of unscented bleach, great for this kind of stuff. Hygiene is going to be critical. Things like, I said, socks, underpants, T-shirts. I don't care how tough you are, because I can do without underwear, but I can't stand wearing a BDU top without a T-shirt, because it chafes, it hurts, it rips on you. So he tells you which part of my body's tender and which part's not. But sandals, get good sandals to use so you don't wear out your boots. Get multiple pairs of boots. Break them in now. Break your boots in now. Get neat's foot oil, water-resistant sprays now. Just start getting these things that are luxuries, because you should already have the basics. If you don't have the basics now, if you open your survival closet and there's not, like, you know, at least 30 days worth of tuna in there, you're behind the curve. And I'm not saying it to discourage you. I'm telling you to kick you in the butt to spend a little more. Sacrifice. There's always something you can trim out. If you've got cable TV, get rid of it. That's $55 you can spend on ramen, and $55 buys a lot of ramen. Also, make sure where you're storing your food, it's rodent-free. We are so fortunate to have three of the meanest hunting cats. We never see mice. We never see mice droppings. We can have ramen stacked on the floor in our kitchen, and it never gets open. Where we lived before, yeah, they were into everything, rice on the counters, but because the cats are with us 24/7 in the basement, they don't even get into the house. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to be diligent and watch it and make sure. We just got another 55-gallon drum, clean one. We're going to put rice, beans, more ramen in there, lard. Can't remember, the Crisco lasts forever. We bought tons of just little things to throw in there, peanut butter crackers, all that kind of stuff. I think that's what we need to be doing right now. Even if there is not a collapse, we're headed for hard financial times. And you're not going to be able to afford the fuel to go to the store anyway, for those of you, you know, that don't have a garden. And those of you that don't have a means to hunt, I don't know how you're going to get food in the cities. You know, I saw some people making fun of YouTube videos on prepping, and they showed this one guy says, today I'm going to teach my son how to hunt in the urban environment using pellet guns. And they were making fun of him, like, well, what's he going to hunt? Well, dogs and cats and rats and some birds, but those are going to run out real fast. You know, at first I was like, how dare you make fun of these preppers, you idiots, you know, you city folk. But then I'm thinking, well, they're probably right. Those animals are going to disappear
super duper fast in an urban environment. Granted, the rat population will go up as the bodies start to pile up from humans, but unless you're willing to make that decision to turn cannibal, I don't know what you're going to be hunting. So you better have a good stash of food, at least enough to get you out. At least enough to get you until you think all this is going to be good. For sanitation or water purification, get granular pool shock. Indefinite shelf life, especially in, you know, when the yogurt hits the fan kind of scenario, Minuteman's saying. The pool shock is good for cleaning stuff. I don't know what the exact formulas are per gallon. You got to figure that out. What? You can also buy a Sawyer water filter, although you spelt it wrong. A Swayer? We don't sell Swayer brand water filters, Lou. We sell Sawyer brand water filters. I don't know what the Swayer is. Are you going out on your own?
It's Sawyer's little brother.
Be focusing on that stuff. Water purification, hygiene. Toothbrushes. Buy your toothbrushes and your baking soda and your whatever you do. If you're just one of these guys that likes Crest and you don't mind the fluoride, go buy it. Get as much as you can. We've got two cases of toothpaste that somebody donated to our group, and we're okay, fine. You know, that's gonna last us forever. I know it's got fluoride in it, but it doesn't have as much fluoride as you're getting from that glass of water when you drink in your municipal water system. But those are the things you should be looking for. Headache pills, and don't get any of the stuff at the dollar store. Stacy's done some research. The vitamins, the aspirin, all that stuff is no good at the dollar stores. You want to get that from actual stores. You know, go to a vitamin store, stock up on vitamins, things like that. Antacids, the things that you take for granted now. Oh man, I got a little bit of heartburn. You go to the cabinet, you got one bottle of it, you use it. It's probably out of date, but still use it. You're gonna want several layers of those to go deep. Everything's going to go fast, especially those of you that shop. I know people that shop daily to feed their families. I used to be one of those guys when I lived in the city. I had all my survival food, but we never had any, perishable food in the house. It was like, because when I lived in Colton, I literally lived behind the Stater Brothers grocery store. So it was just a walk. It was the only exercise I got for a while. I'd walk and go get enough stuff to make dinner that night. And we're just like, well, that way we don't waste anything. But that's actually a bad idea. It's like here at your mom's house here where we're staying. They got tons of food here. They got food out in the garage. They got a pantry. They got food everywhere. And it's still not as much as you should have, but at least they've got a couple days for when things shut down. Because I'm here to tell you, how many people have got enough cash on hand even if you could afford to buy stuff? You don't. You're all plastic now. People are plastic. They're debits. And what's going to happen when they flush the banks? Okay, so you've got a few FRNs. It's not going to get you a gallon of water when they say a gallon of water is $50, is it? Or a set of batteries. And you're going to be sitting there going, why didn't I do this then? Well, I can't help you then. I cannot help you at all. And if you're going to be embarrassed by that, too bad. Neosporin, Warland's kicking in there. Neosporin is good. I like this gunslinger. It says, buy an above-ground pool, 15,000 gallons of water. Especially if you can use it as a cistern and catch rainwater. Stacy saw an article and someone said that you're not allowed to catch rainwater in Utah. Was that where it was? No. Salt Lake City? Because people were catching, they were building cisterns and catching rainwater. And the water department said that they own the rainwater. I'd like to, anybody from Utah, please let me know if that's true, because that was a ridiculous statement.
It's like a comment.
Yeah.
Commenting on.
Yeah.
This elementary school gone off the grid.
Yeah, an elementary school went off the grid and they're trying to... We're just going to do 1 hour today because I'm not getting any calls or any participation. So we're going to do 1 hour. We've got about 3 minutes left, but I wanted to give you something to think about, something to kick you in the pants. I wanted to complain about the people sending me emails. Don't forget, tomorrow night we will have Steve Klein on again. And also on Thursday will be – it's funny. We didn't have either one of our guest hosts on because they were all busy doing stuff, but they will be on this week, Tuesday and Thursdays. And Minuteman saying, yes, that is true in Utah. So Minuteman saying he heard the same thing too, and he's got friends in Utah. And I don't know if he used to live there or not, but that's cool. It is insane. I think Hawaii is similar. There's all kinds of rules about setting up cisterns and stuff. So, folks
–
look at this. I mean, just an example of that. You can't even catch rainwater in Utah. We thought Utah was a good state. We live with a fanatical government. Now's the time to do this stuff. Now's the time to get the gear out and check it
and quietly stash some stuff. Go buy your gas, get some fuel cans, get some stabilize. Have at least enough gas to get you far enough away from population, if not all the way to your safe house, to your stronghold. And unless you have made prior arrangements, please don't show up on my doorstep. If you want to be part of the solution up here at the church at Kauia, at Camp Kauia, you got to start training with us. And you got a great chance to come to Larry Wick, $150. We're still short about four people. People are promising to show up, and now they're not sending me the money. So I told you guys, if we don't get everybody, we're going to cancel. I think right now we're at like 18 or 19 people that have stepped up. I don't know where the rest of the folks are. I got your name on the list, and I'm going to be calling you tomorrow. But if you've already paid, thank you. And if you know somebody else who wants to come, start rattling their cage tonight. Call them tonight. Give them my email. Give them the phone number, and we will set it up. Oh. But that's pretty much it. I don't have anything more to say. Like I said, I can't do 2 hours if I don't have something to say. And tomorrow I'll do an hour, and then the second hour will be Steve Klein. And there's been a lot of activity, a lot of things going on with Code 20, Christian Defenders, Christian Guardians. He's been very active in recruiting. And, of course, we're working on the conference in October. We're trying to do the best we can to to make this thing, pull it off and get people trained and change the paradigm of the conference. And we're going to need your input. And this may be the last chance we get to meet together in a free nation if things keep going the way it is as we get closer to the election. So just remember, I'm not doing this to get rich. I'm not doing this to be famous. I'm doing this because I care, and I want you guys to be part of the solution too. So above all, know that. It's not about pride. It's about love and about faith. So as always, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. And we'll be back tomorrow if Liberty Tree Radio kicks in. Let them know to just run the first hour. It was a good one, I thought. You guys can let me know in the emails. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. Good night, everyone.